All right. Good evening, everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed evening as we are. As always, we'd like to say praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for yet another day in the land of the living and another chance to get our acts together. Today is April 25th, 2024, and week 273. If you're new around here, welcome to Join the Midst of the Storm. This is a program where we like to do weekly live stream Bible studies and shortly upload audio versions to every major podcast platform shortly thereafter. If you've been with us for a while, as we always like to say, thank you guys for tuning in week in and week out, trying to hear what thus says the Lord. We do have one early comment, and it is from David, and he says, praise the Lord, everyone. Hope everyone is having a blessed day in the Lord Jesus, and praise the Lord to you too. I know that I am, and I hope that you are as well. Like Tony always says, you know, I'm making it, I can't complain, and it wouldn't matter even if I did. So that's very true. I'm blessed, I'm grateful to be alive, as I always say, in the land of the living. Those are all of our early comments. So thank you, David, for being amongst the early comments. And as you can see from the title, it says he is real. So without any further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Minister Tony Banks so we can go ahead and get started with this evening's message. As always, we pray that you guys get something out of it and learn how to apply these things learned to your daily life. So in the hands of Minister Banks.
Thank you, Melvin. Let us get into a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you first and foremost, offering thanksgiving to you, Lord. We thank you for our life, health, and strength, Lord. We thank you for all of the many blessings that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the things that we've even taken for granted at some point in our lives, Lord. But we understand that you've been a great God to us, Lord. You have just continue to shower us with love and kindness and mercy and grace and forgiveness and just so many things, Lord, that words could never express all that you did for us, Lord. Keep us in our right minds. Keep us, help our thoughts, Lord. Purify our thoughts. Clean us, Lord. Lord, we're praying that no matter what happens to us in this life, continually remind us that there is a reason to have joy in the midst of every storm, trial, and tribulation. Lord, we're praying for the Bible study tonight that your word would go forth, that you alone would increase, and that we would all decrease. Lord, we're praying that these things that we discuss, the things that we study in your word, that we hear, Lord, we're praying that they would become real to us, Lord. We're praying that you would become real to us, Lord, that it would not be just something we talk about, that it would not be just a tradition, a custom, a ritual, Lord, something we're just going, passing through the motions, something we're just doing just to say, well, I was in Bible study, well, I studied, well, I read, well, I prayed. Lord, we're asking that it would be real to us, that you would make yourself known unto us, unto your people. Lord, we're praying all these blessings in your magnificent name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless each of you. I thank God for my being here. I truly want to give honor to God for making this possible, because God knows we could have been doing many other things. We could have been in a condition tonight that would not have allowed us to be in this Bible study. And so I thank him for just making it possible, regardless of how tired, regardless of how we might feel at times, regardless of what things have transpired in a day's journey. Lord, we just thank you for making this thing possible. For providing the resources, providing the internet connection. I know there's been times where we've gotten on and our internet has went out. You know, all types of things can take place. And so at some point, you know, I try to make sure that I thank God, that I remember to thank him for the things that we kind of expect. You know, we expect our internet to work. We expect our cell phone, our computer, whatever things, we expect these things to work, and we're surprised when these things do not. And so since that is the case, we might as well thank God while we have an opportunity. We're going to deal with some things tonight. Again, we welcome each of you for being with us. This is joy in the midst of the storm, because God knows there are so many storms, trials, tribulations. There are so many tests and problems that take place in this life. However, God is still good to us. However, God has still showed his compassion, his love towards us. And so we try to remember that. That's why we have these Bible studies, so that we can help one another, encourage one another to continue on in Christ, even as we're going through whatever it is that we're going through. And so, again, this is joy in the midst of the storm. Look, we ought to have some type of joy tonight, not because some things might have worked out for us, not because God has given us this, that, and the other, but just because God is a gracious God, just because he's given us an opportunity at salvation. You know, that's so incredible. So we're going to get into some things tonight. I really wanted to deal with this because something I've heard my pastor talk about is allowing God to be real. And this really, especially over the course of the last week or two weeks, I believe, God has really been placing faith on my heart, on my mind, as a topic of discussion. We understand Jesus mentioned to us in one place, he asked, will he find faith when he returns? He asked that question. And you know, the thing that came to my mind is just how real God is. And I begin to look at and think about when someone is real, when something is real. There are so many things in this world. There are so many things we can get involved in. There's so many things we can watch on TV. There's so many things we can practice. And, you know, I began to just think about things that are real and the benefit, the effects of those things that are real. People love sports, Melvin. I grew up loving sports, watching sports, playing sports. And, you know, in the sports world, you have what people call diehards. What people are really saying by that is that person is a real fan. That's what they're really saying. This person is willing to go to the very end with their team. The team can be 0-20. But the diehard fan is still showing up to the stadium. The diehard fan is still watching all of the games as if their team is going to win the championship. The diehard fan, you find those people, especially if you've ever seen a football game or some type of outside event, even soccer, you find the diehard fan, they're out there painting their bodies. They're out there in rain, in snow, with no clothes on. I remember there was a blizzard in, New York or somewhere up north. And I remember the Buffalo Bills had a game. And I saw all of the people coming before the game just to remove the snow because they wanted to help the team out. See, it's something about the diehard. You have other fans, they call them bandwagons. People know that's not a real fan. But the diehard fan, it doesn't matter. You know, Melvin, there were some games that our church, we worked, I believe it was last year, and it was raining at the football game. We were working the concession stands, and I would just watch as the people, even though it was pouring rain, the people still stayed at the game. People didn't leave the game. Someone is a real fan. Someone really cares about the team. And so when people are real, you see a different level of dedication. You see a different level of passion that people have when something is real to them. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. But when that thing becomes real to you, people will follow it. I've seen people that love their sports team, and they will travel across the country. Doesn't matter how far it is, they will take a plane, they'll take bus, they will drive. It doesn't matter. Because it's real to them. It's real. You know, when I look at God, suppose, peradventure, what if God became real to us? What if he became real? Because right now, we might as well be honest tonight. It's time for us to be real. We might as well be honest tonight. We know when it comes to God, when it comes to church, when it comes to Bible study, we have all kinds of excuses. I know because I've been there, Melvin. I've been there. When it rained, I said, well, I know it's time for Bible study, and I know I have to get out, drive to the church, but it's raining. I better wait until next week. And next week, there's another excuse. But when it comes to other things that are real to us and important to us, we make time. We make time for those things. So when I'm looking at God, I just imagine a people who, if God became real to you, our dedication level would change. The level of seriousness we have toward him would change. You know, people, one thing people are serious about, many people, now some people aren't, but when a person loves their job, when the job is really real to them, I mean someone that really loves their job and love what they do. Look, you can't make them miss a day. You can't pay them. They have paid days off and they still don't. They still don't want to miss because it's real to them. It's real. And so as I began to think about faith and as I began to think about God, you know, I want God to be real in my life. I don't want to limit God. See, sometimes we limit him. Melvin, I know Melvin remembers this. Some years ago, there was someone who commented on our Bible study, and they mentioned that they knew they wanted us to pray that someone would donate a kidney to a person that they knew. I don't remember what relation the person was, but they wanted us to pray for a kidney transplant. And I made up my mind, I'm not praying for that. I'm praying that God would restore the kidney that the person already has. Look, I understand they begin to tell us how kidneys cannot be restored. I understand that. I understand the science behind it. It's gotten so bad, and there's no way they could live with that same kidney. But I understand God is bigger than that. See, God has to become real to us, that we don't limit him. See, in one place, it talks about how Jesus, he was going around performing miracles, my God, restoring kidneys. See, somebody didn't read this stuff. Somebody that read it didn't believe it. It's not real to them. But Jesus, he went around and he would heal people who could not see, people who could not walk, people who had withered hands, people who were paralyzed. He healed all types of people. My God, he even brought people back from the dead. He did the impossible. But the Bible talks about how Jesus, in a certain place, he could not continue to walk among them. He could not continue to perform miracles in the people's midst because he wasn't real to them, because they did not believe in him. You know, my God, you know, if I could just put myself in God's shoes, if I could see things from his perspective, If we all could put ourselves in his shoes and look at things from his lens, think about how God created this entire world. The stars, the moon, the air. I was listening to someone yesterday talk about how God, there's no way it was a coincidence that the sun is just the right amount of distance from the earth, that he just so happened to put trees around us that grow food that you can walk outside and eat. It just so happens that we have oxygen that we can breathe on this earth. It just so happens that God did all of this stuff for us. See, somebody ought to believe he's real. And so for him to do all of that, for us to limit his capabilities. See, if I look at things from God's point of view, I would be so upset. I'll be honest with you, I'd be so upset. Because here I am. I've designed, now this is God now. Here he is. He's designed all of these things for us. Perfectly. I mean, it is perfect. You just look at the shape of the moon. You look at the shape of the sun. I mean, all of these things are perfect. I remember we went to the zoo some time back and we saw all of the animals and how perfect, my God, how perfect they are. They all have different features. They all have something that distinguishes them. They're perfect. Even us as people, we all have something different about us. Even twins. It doesn't matter how many chromosomes and how much their DNA matches and all this. There's still something different about every single person on the face of this earth, no matter how closely they might look. Their voice is slightly different. Something about the way they walk is different. Something about the way they act is different. We're just different. God did this because he loves each and every one of us so very much. He put that much thought into you to not create you as a carbon copy, but to create you as someone that's completely different from anyone else on the face of this earth. And you would allow someone to believe, to cause you to think that God doesn't care about you. What a lie. What a lie from hell. Just, it's so incredible to think about just how much detail, just how thoughtful God has been to do all he's done for us. And we still won't believe he's real. We believe he exists now, but he's not capable of doing all things. You know, I seen an accident recently. And the truck flipped over, 18-wheeler flipped over. Man was trapped in the truck. I believe he was trapped upside down. They had to cut him out. If you saw the picture, and I know you guys have seen some type of image where when you looked at it, you just expected the person to be gone. My God, and the man got out alive. And I read that the man got up with his arms up in the air, saying, "What a mighty God we serve." See, somebody's got to believe that he's real. To not limit him in your thinking. There's a scripture that tells us, it says in the book of Proverbs, "As one thinketh in his heart," now I'm not quoting it exactly, but "as a man thinketh in his heart," it says, "so is he." See, there are some things that are not real, that people, because it's in their heart and they believe it so much, it's real. To them now, it's not real, but to them. We have our children right now. And you might want to cover. No, they need to hear this. Don't cover their ears. We're teaching our children. Look, Santa's real. And someone's child is going to be absolutely devastated. I've seen videos of children being told Santa's not real, and they were just crushed. Because for so long, they've been believing he's real, even though he's not. They've been believing it. See, something can become real to you that's not even there. There are people that just really believe there are ghosts. You got people looking and chasing ghosts. You got people who feel. See, this is in our minds. We think a graveyard has got all type of ghosts out there. For some reason, Melvin, they're trapped at the graveyard. They're not anywhere else. They're just at the graveyard. See, these are things that we're making real in our minds. But God, who is real, and the book tells me he's able to do exceedingly. I mean, look at the word choice. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Three words that mean the same thing. He's trying to stress just how real he is. But we won't believe him for anything. We don't believe he's real in our lives. Many times people make something that is real, not real in their life. Sometimes the doctor may tell people they have a certain condition. And the people will tell the doctor, I don't have that. I don't believe it. Just because you don't believe it, it doesn't make it not real. But it makes it not real to them. Until something shows up, till the symptoms show up and force them to believe that it's real. But we serve a God tonight. He's real. And what that really means is you can believe him for anything. You can believe him for the impossible. You can believe him for the kidney to be restored, even though it shouldn't happen according to science. Look, I went to school for science. I love science. Science is good. But I cannot allow science to cause me to believe and doubt God. It cannot cause me to doubt God's ability. If things could not be restored, if we really understood what it is that we're saying, how is it that you can tell me you believe Jesus rose from the dead, my God, after 3 days, but you don't believe he can restore a kidney that's still alive in someone's body? It's just not functioning at 100%. How can you persuade me of that? Jesus's entire body, my God, his entire body was gone. Every organ in his body, he was brain dead, if you will. His heart was no longer beating. His lungs had collapsed. Even when we think about Jesus and he went to Lazarus' grave before Jesus himself died and rose again, even before that, he went to Lazarus' grave. And it was 4 days since the man Lazarus had been dead. And Jesus told them, roll away the stone. Open the grave up. And the sister told him, I don't remember if it was Mary or Martha, but one of them told him, she said, Master, by now, this brother stink. His body is decayed. Don't you understand the science behind this? It's been days, and he's not alive any longer. Jesus said, roll away the stone. See, when you believe he's real, you don't limit him. Look, I love school. I love to learn. I love to study things concerning life. But I have to trust God over everything. How is it that you believe that God is going to raise you from the dead after many of us have been dead 100 years, 20 years, 200 years, 1,000 years? How do we believe he's going to raise someone from the dead, but he can't restore their heart while they're yet still alive? He's not real to us. How do we not believe that God can command a blessing over our lives, even though we might be in a bad situation? We're struggling to pay our bills. But we don't believe he can send help just in time. How is it that we get in situations and we just don't believe God can change it? We feel there's no hope. How can we really say we believe he's real if he's not actually real in our lives? See, I want God to be real in my life. There have been problems that I've had to deal with, that I've did everything I possibly know how. And somewhere along the line, with the problem still not resolved, God will put on my heart to leave it alone. Just stop. Don't even attempt to do anything else. And my thinking is, well, God, but what? I still need to do this. God, I've got to do that. And the Lord just causes me to leave it alone. To allow him to be real, to allow him to show me he's going to do the things that I can't. See, will you allow God to be real in your situation? I know without a doubt that someone under the sound of my voice has some problems that God has to step in to resolve. I know it. But will you let him be real? Will you believe him for it? He said all things are possible if you can believe. You've got to let him be real in your life. See, somebody else are going to say, look, you're crazy. Somebody else is going to declare, that's foolish. Why would you believe God for that? It's not going to happen. But will you let him be real in your life? See, you can't control your next door neighbor. You can't control your coworkers. You can't control your family member. I know we love our family, but somebody might not see him as being real in their life. But will you let him be real in yours? Will you let him be real in your life? That's what I want from God. I want God to show himself mighty. You know, God will show you more when you believe him more. The more you choose to believe of him, the more you'll see. The more you will see that somebody else can't see. I've been in situations. I was just telling someone about this the other day. I remember a situation where a man, we were at work, and the man fell from a high shelf, very high shelf. He climbed on a shelf, went up about 2-3 stories, very high. And the man was trying to get a box down. He lost control of the box, tried to catch the box, and in the process, he fell down and knocked his shoulder completely out of place. completely out of its socket. And the man was screaming. He was in so much pain. And they chose me to take him to the emergency room. But I was instructed to take him to the urgent care. Now, I didn't think much about it because I did what I was told. And this man, we sat at the urgent care. From the time we left the store, it probably was about an hour total. And the man was yelling in so much pain. And I remember it was taking the doctor so long to see him. And he's screaming, cursing at them, all kinds of things. Crying. And I remember praying and telling, and I prayed with the guy. I said, man, I know what God is able to do. I don't know how to put your arm back in place, but God does. I know it because he's real in my life. See, this man might not have believed that, but he was real in my life. And so I prayed, and I just continued to pray. Even after I prayed with him, I continued to pray because the man continued to be in pain. And the nurse came back out, and she told us they wouldn't be able to help us there. She said, you've got to go to the emergency room. And the man got up yelling, cursing at them because he was so upset that we wasted all of that time. So he thought. We made it out to the vehicle. Brought the vehicle around, picked him up. He got inside. And he said, oh, man, it just went back in. See, by the time he sat down and I walked around to the other side of the vehicle, he said, man, it's back in. See, this is the type of God that I serve. See, he might not be real to someone. Somebody might look at it and say, oh, well, see, it was because of this. And it was because of, look, I know what happened. I was there. I didn't put that man's shoulder back in. And he didn't put his own back in either. I know who it was because I had told him just how real God is. But somebody's not going to believe him. Somebody's not going to see it. Man ended up having surgery after that, had a torn labrum. But God is real because this man couldn't even walk. He could barely walk while his shoulder was out. We serve a real God tonight. But will you believe him to do the unthinkable in your life? Man, we better get at least one verse tonight. We better get one. Acts 4:20. Let's see what it says.
For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
See, I feel good because I cannot help myself but tell you just a few things God has allowed me to see. See, I serve a real God tonight. A God that promised to continue to be with us, to continue to bless. I've seen it happen. I'm seeing it every day. God working things out that I have no control over. So we're reading here, Peter. This is Peter talking to the Jews, the Pharisees, because they wanted him to stop telling them just how real Jesus is. They wanted him to stop talking about this. He said, man, we cannot but speak. He said, I have to tell you this because he's real. You know, anything that someone really loves and it's real to them, they talk to you about it. They tell you about it all the time. You say, man, I sure wish they would stop telling me about it. It's real to them. It's precious to them. It's worthwhile to them. I was talking to I was having a conversation, which I've had this conversation with a few people. Well, I better leave that alone. Man, let's go up here. Let's go up. Let's pick it up here in verse. See, I think I want 19. Go up to verse 16. Let's go up to 16.
Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed.
You know what? Drop to 18. Drop to 18.
Right. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus.
How could you do this when he's so real to you? You know, There was a time in my life where, some years ago, I remember being sick and not sure if I was going to still live to see the next day. I had CT scans, MRIs, blood tests, the works, the whole nine. I remember being in the hospital one night. And I sat there by myself, crying. And someone asked me, who was with you? And I remember telling them, it's nobody here but me and God. See, at some point, he's got to become real to you. God had to take me through those things for me to believe him the way I do now. He had to take me through that. I know there's someone going through something. But if you could understand, you've got to go through something for him to prove to you that he's real. You know what, man? Actually, let's leave this. Go to 2 Corinthians for me. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. See, God wants to prove something. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5.
Examine yourselves, mm-hmm. whether ye be in the faith.
Examine yourself to know if you're actually in the faith, to know if you really believe he's real. As I was saying, I was sick, not sure if I would still be alive. But God kept me. He kept me. I recall the days having people come over to my home to make food for me. But God had to put me through that test to show me just how real he is. The doctors told me they couldn't find a single thing wrong with me. I knew something was wrong. Why could I not get up? Why was I having so many problems if nothing was wrong? See, God had to get my attention to show me he's real so that I can believe him. So he said, examine yourselves. We're examining everybody else. We know everybody else's business. We know every single thing someone else got wrong. We don't know anything about ourselves. He said, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Some of us have gotten outside of believing in God, but we don't even realize it. Read that next part for us, Melvin.
Prove your own selves.
See, God wants you to prove something. See, if you say he's real, God says, you know what? I'll prove it. If we say we believe in him, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the King of Kings, Lords of Lords. God said, if we're saying this and declaring this, he's going to put you through a test to see. Look, everything that's made, it has to go through a test to see if it will hold up. It has to go through a test. It has to be purified. Even cars. The cars that we drive, they put them through tests. They make them travel. They make them go up to 55. They make them go up to 60 miles. They make them go around curves. They have to, they make them go over bumps and tough terrain. They have to put these things through tests to prove it. To prove it will work. Paul said, examine yourselves. He said, you need to prove you. God is going to prove us. That's what he told his children of the children of Israel. He said he was going to prove them. This is why God is allowing things to happen to us. To prove us. To make us better. He said he wouldn't put more on us than we're able to bear. If he put it on you, he believes you have what it takes with his help to get through it. He's going to prove you. That's what he did to Abraham. Abraham, he was, the Bible calls him the father of faith. The man believed that God was real. He believed that God is real. And so God allowed Abraham to have a child. We know the story. And after he finally had this child, God said, I want you to turn around and offer him back up, kill him on the altar. Being the man that he was, Abraham, no doubt, didn't mention anything to his wife because she would have swore he lost his mind, Melvin. She would have sworn that. And so he went up to a place, built an altar, put his son on the altar. His son was confused. His son looked and saw the sticks. He saw they had everything they need to offer up a sacrifice. But his son is wondering, look, man, where's the sacrifice? I don't see him. But Abraham told him, he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Now, I won't get into the depths of that. But God is going to provide. See, that's what he was saying was God is real and he's going to provide. Whatever it is that you need, he's going to supply it. He's real. And so as Abraham rose up the weapon to kill his own son, God stopped him. He said, now I know. Now I know you believe. Now I know you fear me. Now I know you trust me. See, God is just doing some things to prove what's in us. A lot of times we say, we believe this, we believe that. A lot of times we say, yeah, I believe God. I've got faith. Until it's time to prove it. Somebody said, put up or shut up. Until it's time for us to prove something, then we find out, I guess I really don't have the faith I thought I had. That's why the disciples, they said, Lord, increase our faith. We understand. See, somebody has to be honest and examine themselves and declare, I'm not where I should be. I need more. Lord, I need to believe you're really real. no matter what the situation looks like. He said, walk by faith, not by sight. He's going to prove us. And every day, look, I need God to prove me. I need him to prove to me what's in me. Because I can tell you what I'll do. We see that happen when we were in school and there was a bully and he comes over and he picks on your friend and you're and the person was happy that the bully didn't pick on them. But once the bully leaves, they said, man, if it had been me, see, there's no way they could have did me like that. See, I would have showed them who's the boss. Until the next day, the bully picks on them and they find out they really were not about what they claimed. The bully proved to them. This is what God wants to do for us. He's going to prove to you just what's in you. Sometimes we say, oh, that slipped out. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I'm sorry. Nope. He's proving you that's something that's already in you. He's proving it to you. Now it's time to ask God, Lord, take this from me. I don't need this in me. Lord, I've got to be better than that. He's going to prove us. But we can see so many things take place in our lives, so many wonderful things, if we would allow God to be real. There was an instance. Jesus fed over 5,000 people. Over five. Might have been six. I don't know. Might have been seven. Might have been 10. The Bible doesn't declare. It just lets us know there were over 5,000. He performed a miracle. He fed that many people with two fish and five loaves of bread. See, we don't believe that's possible. But you know what? Jesus did that. And the same people came to him, I believe it was the next day, looking for more food. And Jesus declared to them that they missed the miracle because they were looking for the fish and the bread. What he was really telling them was because they're searching for the wrong thing, because their eyes are in the wrong place, they are not able to allow God to be real to them. They're not able to see just how much God is able to do for them. God is able to free you. God is able to deliver you. God is able to restore situations that you never thought could be restored if you can believe certain things. If you can let God be God. If you can let him be real in your life. See, you can't stop God from being real in my life. I refuse to allow it. You can say, oh, I don't believe God will do this for you. I don't believe God will do that for you. You can say whatever you want. Look, I remember a time, Melvin, I was working a job. And I went to college. That doesn't make me any better than someone who didn't, nor someone who did. Doesn't make me any better. But I went to college. I didn't have a problem because God blessed me. I didn't have a problem passing. Had no problem. But God called me to preach my last year of school. See, God's timing is perfect, impeccable. He called me to preach my last year of school. And so I gave up everything that I was going to school for. The degree I worked so hard for, I gave it up because God is real to me. See, I don't have nothing to do with someone else that doesn't want to believe God. That's them. But to me, he's real. And I recall people finding it so crazy. They said, why would you do that? Brother, he's real. And so I found myself working a job that my God. See, God bless me. I found myself working in a place that people looked at. People looked at it. And they looked down upon it. We know there are jobs that people respect. And there are other jobs that people have no respect for whatsoever. And so me having went through college, working the job I was working, so many, my God, people looked down on it. But someone couldn't see what God was showing me. See, you've got to let God be real in your life. What he tells you to do, somebody might not agree with it. They might not comprehend it. They might not understand it. But God blessed me. God took care of our family because I was obedient. So much so that I still recall people wondering, how in the world could you survive? And your wife doesn't even have a job, hadn't worked in years. How could you survive? Because God is real. Because I'm trusting in him. I'm doing what he's telling me to do. I'm not going out chasing what you want. I'm doing what he says. Look, he's real to me. If you would just allow God to be real, people would wonder, how could you make it? How are you surviving? He's real. Didn't miss ties. Didn't miss doing anything God instructed us to do. Because he's real. So I said that because I want someone to realize just how big God is. Just how powerful he is. Just how capable he is. The Bible declares, if you don't allow God to be real in your life, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible. But you've got to allow him to be God and trust him. See, it's difficult to trust. It is difficult to trust. But it's possible when we allow God and put him in his rightful place, the creator of the universe, he's still on the throne and he's still. His hand is not too short. He's not too weak to reach down from heaven and fix anything that's going on in your life. May God bless you guys. And I pray in my closing remarks, allow God to be real in your life. Never mind somebody else's life. The Bible said, examine yourself. Allow him to be real in yours. May God bless you. At this time, back into the hands of Melvin.
Thank you, Minister Banks. We do have a few more comments. Sister Rosie and Renelia says, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord to you, too. Thank you for tuning in. Let's see. Susie says, what your heart can conceive, you can achieve with the help of the Holy Spirit. And also David says, what is impossible for man isn't impossible for my God. He is able and his arm is not short. And those comments are very true. We appreciate all of the comments, all of the interactions. We greatly appreciate it. Words cannot put into, we can't explain how much we appreciate it. We've been getting questions on our website, and we're just glad to know that we could be a help for someone that's seeking what thus says the Lord. We have to have the belief. I've been in many situations where it didn't seem like there was a way out. I remember one time, I've said it before, but it's been a while. We were on our way back to Oxford, my wife and I, and we got close. I believe we were in Pontotoc, Mississippi. Broad daylight, but the weather was so bad, we could not see anything. I had to pull over on the side of the road, and the car was shaking in the wind. And we had got an Amber Alert on our phone, a weather alert, and it said that a tornado warning, and it said seek shelter immediately. And I've learned in the past that a warning means a tornado has been spotted. So I don't know how close it was, but it had to been really close. And what was little old me? What was I going to do? All I knew to do was just pray. And then it seemed like after that, everything calmed down. So I'm glad that we have someone we can call upon who is compassionate about us. So I'm grateful for that. Another situation, I was back in high school, but we had these state tests, and it seemed like I could not just get past the U.S. history state test. That was the one that I kept failing, and I passed it a week before graduation. I remember there was 80 multiple choice questions, and I prayed on every single one of those questions, and I believe I passed by about 1 point. But I knew that that event happening gave me experience to know, oh, if I'm ever in a position like this again, I know that there is someone I can call upon. And that also played a big role in where I am right now. I remember when Tony and I first did our introductory video about 5 years ago, we explained all of the different situations that led up to us being at that moment right then and there. And it's just amazing to think, if one thing went slightly different, we could be on a completely different path in life. So I'm grateful for all of the things that have happened to me, both good and bad, because it shaped me into being the person that I am today. And I'm just exceeding grateful for that. Let's see. Mike says, 273 dedicated weeks of commitment to spreading God's word. What an incredible way to serve our Lord. Thank you both. And thank you, too, for being consistent and tuning in and listening to what thus says the Lord. Because a lot of people will listen and then they will shut their ears. So we appreciate you for taking the time out to listen to what thus says the Lord. So I think those are all of our comments. Thank you to everyone that has commented. Thank you to everyone that has watched and will watch or listen. As my weekly reminder to you guys, we do have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We would love to see you guys there. And as I always like to say, rejoice in the Lord always, because today's tribulations are tomorrow's testimonies. Count it all joy, count it all joy, and again, count it all joy. There's reason to be joyful in the midst of every single storm. And remember, if the Lord brought you to it, He can bring you through it. So if the Lord blesses and says the same, we'll see you guys next Thursday evening with another topic coming straight from the Word of God. Until then, you guys have a happy, safe, and blessed weekend. And thank you so much again for tuning in. Thank you for listening to our weekly Bible study podcast. We hope you enjoyed this evening's message. My name is Melvin Corners, here along with Minister Tony Banks. You can catch these Bible studies live on Facebook every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at facebook.com/JMSBible. We have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check out our website at JMSBible.com. There, you can listen to all of our in-person, Zoom, and live stream messages along with every scripture we've ever covered. Lastly, we have been getting a lot of questions about how people can donate. We have finally opened up a Cash App if you find it in your heart to leave a donation, because running these Bible studies takes money, which Tony and I have been paying since we first started. That name is $JoyStorm12. We appreciate each and every single donation, no matter how small. And remember to rejoice in the Lord always.